Good morning. Good morning. Hey, great to be here, isn't it? Hey, it really is nice to be here. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Big warm welcome to everyone. Special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. It's good to have you with us. And we know that each and every one of us will be blessed by being here. I think most of you know that on Thursday of the week just past, we had a celebration of the life of David Bricker, who one of our dear friends who passed away. And I'd just like you to bear in mind today that Dave was scheduled to be doing special music today. And we have deliberately not filled that spot. And I just want you to keep in your mind that that's what David was going to be doing today. And he wanted to do it, even from his wheelchair. So let's just keep that in mind as we progress through our worship today. We worship the Lord. Alan, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. The Old Testament readings this morning from 1 Kings 18.
Announcements first.
We have some announcements first. I'm new at this. From Laurie Reed. A book went missing a few weeks ago from the top of the coat racks. It's a workbook called Lies Women Believe. If you know where it is, pass it along to Sandy Reed. Anyone? And June 23rd, Sunday, right after church, Scott Richmond and Leanne are going to have a wedding shower here at the church, right after church, and details to follow. Now we're going to do the Old Testament.
No, not yet.
He's excited. He's keen to get on with this. Keen to get on with it. Have you got something fixed for afterwards? Okay, so have we got all the announcements? We're all done? Yeah, yeah. Does anybody have any other announcements that they need to make? What was that date for that shower?
June 23rd.
June the 23rd was the date for that shower for Scott and his fiancée. So if you want to get that down, June 23rd, that's a Sunday, and it's following the Sunday service, I believe. Right? Got that? Splendid.
And there's still lots of room on the sign-up sheet for the lawn mowing. So if anybody was lined up wanting a space, well, there is a space.
Yeah, if you were worried about being left out, don't worry. You can get your name on that sheet soon as you like. Don't forget to do that. Now then, when I get finished babbling here, we're going to celebrate birthdays. We haven't yet done May birthdays, so we're going to celebrate May birthdays and any birthdays before that if you got missed out at any time, okay? So prepare yourself if you have a birthday to celebrate. No further announcements. We celebrate birthdays right now.
Come on, Susan. Come on, Dale. Don't leave me here alone. go by.
We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. We read in Psalm 96 and verse 13. We worship the Lord in our approach choruses, and I invite Chelsea and Kathy to lead us in those choruses right now. Thank you.
Good morning. We're going to start our approach courses this morning with number 205. Oh, no. Let's start with 204. It's called We Have Come Into His House. If everybody wants to stand. Is in you, Lord. You guys might not know this one as well. I don't know, but it's a catchy little tune, and feel free to clap or anything if you want to.
Is
finish with number 205. It's called You Are My Hiding Place.
Thanks to Chelsea and Kathy for leading us in our choruses there. Did you feel an influence of Phantom of the Opera there in that one that we sang there, and that music started playing? I thought we were off into Phantom, but there you go. Here we still are, worshipping the Lord. We bow our heads, we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we just come before you once again to give you thanks. Our hearts are overflowing with gratitude for the joy that you come and bring into our lives. We are so thankful, Father. You bless us, you clothe us, you feed us, you supply us with everything that we need that we can have good and joyful lives, and we are so thankful. And so we come before you this day, Holy Father, to worship you. We pray that you will accept the praise that we bring. We pray, gracious Lord, that you will open our hearts and that you will open our minds. And we ask, Holy Father, that each of us here may hear your voice as you speak your special word that you have for each and every one of us. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Now on.
I know you're all anticipating this. 1 Kings 18, 20 and 21. And then carrying on to 18, 30 to 39. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to all the people, Come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, Fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, The Lord, he is God. Lord, the Lord, he is God. And now the responsive reading. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
During our offertory this morning, we have some special piece of music here. Caleb is going to play for us. Is that right, Caleb? Going to play for us? Sort of. Yes, he is. He's kind of pretty excited and pretty nervous about it, but he's going to play for us. And your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your goodness in our lives. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are humble tokens of our gratitude, but we pray, Holy Father, that you will take these gifts, that you will take the givers, and upon your church here on earth you will perform mighty miracles. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. And thank you to our junior ushers here this morning. Good job. And thank you to Caleb. Where is he? Great job, Caleb. Well done. Thank you so much. The children would like to come and join me, please. Okay, question for you. Who has the most keys in your house? Keys, these things. Who has the most? Your mom has the most. She must be pretty important in your house, eh? Who has the most in your house? Your dad. Oh, he's a pretty important guy, isn't he? Yeah, who's got the most keys in your house? If you didn't get that, everybody has keys, but the dog has the most because he keeps stealing them all. These are my keys. What does a key do? It opens something. It unlocks something, doesn't it? Now, if I look at these, this one here is for my car. That's right. It starts the car. It unlocks the engine and gets the engine going. That one there is for my front door of my house. And I have another one here, which is for the front door, or the side door of the church, which is that one. And this one here is for this front door of the church. And I have a key for the back door of my house, and I have a key for my mailbox, and I have a key for my church mailbox, and I have another key here, and I've no idea what that one's for. It's a bit bent, but probably has a purpose somewhere. But they're all to unlock something, right? Keys unlock things. I want to tell you about a key today which unlocks something different, but it's not made of metal like these. It's invisible, okay? And this is a key called faith. A key called faith. And what do you think that key unlocks? Any ideas?
Heaven?
Yes, it will unlock heaven. The key of faith unlocks heaven and lets you in. It unlocks the power of God in your life and gets God work in your life when you have faith. And so in today's gospel reading that we'll be having later on today, there was a centurion who was a soldier who has command of 100 men. And he sent his soldiers to Jesus, and they asked Jesus, "Will you come and heal my servant?" Now, the Roman centurions didn't normally get on very well with Jews, and Jesus was a Jew. But he sent his servants to ask if Jesus would do this. And before Jesus got there, he sent another message to Jesus, and he said, "Don't you bother coming to my house. I'm not good enough for you to come to my house, but you just say the word and my servant will be healed." And that's called faith. That's believing in the power of God through Jesus. And he had faith. And how do you think the story ended? What do you think happened to the centurion's servant? He was healed. That's right. Because of the faith of the centurion, his faith opened the power of God. And that's what our message and our service is about today. If we have faith, if we really believe that Jesus is powerful and can work miracles in people's lives, God will do that. So shall we say a little prayer together? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you come into our hearts, that you come into our lives, and you give us this wonderful key of faith, which can and will unlock your power in our lives. Do this for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Time for Sunday school.
Yay.
Thank you. Don't forget your keys, Ian. You'll lose them. What is this? Somebody's lost a hair grip or something. Is this yours? No? So, Iris, when I am desperately looking for my keys after the service, they are here. We stand and sing to God's glory the hymn number 106, Praise Him, Praise Him. Sunday, the worship will be conducted by our own worship team, and coming along to present the message will be our old friend Don McNaughton. Everybody remembers Don. Him and his wife Kathleen were faithful attendees here, and until the point when Don got his doctorate and he was appointed as Professor of Counselling down at the Southern Baptist Seminary at Cochrane. And as part of the deal with that, him and his wife had to attend a Baptist church. See, they've got to get people into the Baptist church somehow. I take that back. Didn't mean that. But we were sorry to lose Don and Kathleen. They were great friends of ours. And Don loves to have the opportunity to come back. So him and his wife will be here next Sunday. And Don will present the message. And I have a suspicion that Kathleen may very well present the children's message. She frequently does when they come. But that's who will be here next Sunday. And as I say, our worship team will be leading the worship service. In our time of prayer, I'm sure you, like us, very much have the people of Oklahoma still very much in your prayers. They are plagued by these tornadoes and this wild weather. And what we see on our television screens is almost unbelievable. The winds and the just what's going on there. The houses that have been torn down and ripped apart, and people losing their homes, their possessions, and in some cases their loved ones. And I'm sure that you will keep all of these people very much in your hearts and in your prayers at this time, as well as all the other things you pray about. And I'm sure you've got a great big list of them as well. Keep on praying. God hears all prayers. We bow our heads. We join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us your power. Send us grace. Gracious and loving Father, we offer to you our thanksgiving and our praise. We are thankful, Lord, that you live this life just as we live it. You know all about suffering and loneliness and joy and despair. You, Lord Jesus, experienced life and death that you might fully understand the many emotions that we experience. And you understand us, Lord. And so you are merciful and you are graceful to us. And we praise you. We worship you and we give you thanks. Your word, Lord Jesus, penetrates like a mighty sword, cutting to the core of all things, exposing the addictions that bind us and blind us, and those things that hold us back from giving all that we have in serving you. And because of your death and resurrection, Lord, we have the confidence to come before your throne of grace and to claim your glorious crown for ourselves. For you did tell us, Lord, that we are your brothers and your sisters. We are joint heirs with you, Lord, with you, our Saviour. And so, Lord Jesus, we are awed. We are humbled. For we know that there is nothing in us that merits your favour. And yet, you are not only able to help us, but you, Lord, are willing. Father, accept the praise we bring. And we ask that you help us to be likewise, willing to offer ourselves to you and to open our hearts and to open our hands to those who are in need. Lord, we pray that you will remind your people everywhere that you are the God with whom all things are possible. May we remember this, especially during our moments of despair, during our weakness, and especially, Lord, help us to remember this during times of great disaster and calamity. May we remember, Lord, that you are all-powerful as we think of the people of Oklahoma. As we think of the terrible tornadoes that have hit these people and their land and their homes and their friends and their relatives. And we pray, Holy Father, that your grace may be upon those who are physically reaching out and helping these people. Grant that we, Lord, here in Cremona may serve you in all the ways that you call us to serve you, not counting the cost, not worrying about the outcome. And may your church, Lord, throughout the world, reach out and do likewise. We thank you, Holy Father, for your many blessings, especially the blessings of our church home, our church family. And we ask you, Lord, to bless every home represented here. We ask you to watch over those from whom we are separated and grant your healing presence to those who suffer. We pray in silence, Lord, for those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care about, to worry about, to pray about. And at this time, gracious Lord, we whisper their names before your throne of grace. We live this coming week for you, Lord. Use us to your honour and glory as we seek to lift high the glorious and wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus in all that we say and in everything that we do. And so, Lord, to this end, mighty Father, send us your love, send us your power, and send us your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he has loved the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went to them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself for coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught it to me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ.
And that was your child who did the damage there. Very impressed, obviously, by the reading. Thank you. Good job. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory, verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 404, The Solid Rock.
Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How to amaze Jesus. How to amaze Jesus. Some time ago in the Peanuts comic strip, Lucy, Linus, Charlie Brown and all the Peanuts gang looked up at the sky. And Lucy said, "You can see lots of things in the clouds." And then turning to her friend, she asked, "What do you see?" "Linus." "Well," said Linus, "those clouds up there look to me like the little island of Belize, that little nation in the Caribbean." And he looked in a different direction and he said, "That cloud over there," well, he says, "it just looks like the profile of Thomas Eakins, the famous painter and sculptor. And that cloud formation over there gives me the impression of the stoning of Stephen. Why, I can even see Paul standing at the side, holding his coat." "Aha," gasped Lucy. "That's good, very good. And what do you see, Charlie Brown?" And clearing his throat, Charlie timidly replies, "Oh, I was going to say I saw a ducky and a horsey, but I've changed my mind." Now we may smile at Charlie Brown, yet in a more profound way, he reminds us just a little bit, maybe just a lot, about the first disciples of Christ. They too had a hard time in stretching their faith to see the coming kingdom of God and to see the spiritual harvest that was all around them. So the question is, how far are you able to stretch your faith? Only twice in all of Scripture was Jesus said to marvel or to be amazed. And both times it was to do with faith. In our gospel reading today, Jesus encounters this Roman centurion who is looking with confidence to Jesus to restore the health of his servant. And of this centurion, in Luke 7 and verse 9, Jesus states, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." So this is one occasion when Jesus was amazed. And the only other time recorded was when he began his public ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. And he was rejected at that time by his own people and by the Jews. And in Mark 6 and verse 6 it says, he was amazed by their lack of faith. He was amazed by their lack of faith. The centurion in the scripture today had a faith that was more perceptive and sensitive than anything Jesus had witnessed in Israel, in the Jewish nation. What could be worse than to amaze the Son of God by one's lack of faith? What could be more thrilling than to amaze him with one's faith? The centurion had amazing faith. So why was Jesus so amazed? What made this man's faith so amazing? Where people truly care, healing takes place. Where people care, miracles take place. We see the centurion's care and his love for his servant. Probably the servant had been a trusted member of this centurion's household for many years. Maybe. We don't know. But actually, the word servant is too nice a term. The Greek word used in this story is a word doulos, and that is my fluent Greek coming out there, doulos. And it literally means slave. The man about whom the centurion cared so much was a slave. And in Roman times, slavery could often be quite cruel. It usually was. Under Roman law, slaves were considered to be property, giving the owner complete rights. The owner could do whatever he wanted to do. He was legally entitled, and if it was his desire, he could have that slave killed without getting into any trouble whatsoever. It's only property. Sick slaves, as this one was, old slaves, were especially at risk. And it was frequent practice to just put them out. When they couldn't work any longer, when they couldn't do what the master required of them, he just threw them out. This did not set them free. It just got rid of them. So that the centurion so highly valued this slave and wanted to take the best care of him possible in his sickness, this was unusual. This was a most unusual expression of kindness. This shows this man, the centurion, in a comparatively good light within what is otherwise an evil system. The centurion cared. He loved his servant. And when someone cares and when someone shows love, healing takes place. Miracles take place. And just as important, someone had cared enough about that centurion to tell him about Jesus. Otherwise he wouldn't have known where to turn in his time of need for his servant, his sick servant. How fortunate it would be if we would all take more time to tell people about Jesus. We live in a world that's crying out in need for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got him. And would it be great if we told people about this? If we were more open in talking about Jesus, open in sharing our faith and our friendship, it would always yield benefits to our friends. Have you ever thought of how powerful a word spoken at the right time is? How powerful this is. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Wow, isn't that great? It can bring healing to broken hearts. It can bring help to those people in despair. How many times in your daily living have you been lifted by just a few words that someone spoke to you? They were unexpected, but they were right. And it just lifted your spirits. It was a mere human voice that sent the centurion to the source of healing for his servant. Someone cared enough for the centurion to tell him about Jesus. The centurion, in turn, cared enough about his servant to call in who, of all people, the Jewish leaders, and to ask them to bring Jesus to him. Wow, something strange going on here. The Jewish leaders. And in the same way, the Jewish elders cared enough about the centurion to overcome their inbuilt prejudices. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for the Jewish elders to take someone to Jesus, to request that Jesus heal this centurion's servant? They cared. They swallowed their pride. They had humility. And they took this man to Jesus. Wow. And of course, we know Jesus cares. Jesus loves every single one of his creations. And he cared enough to go with them to the servant. When people care that much, something good has got to happen. It always does. I wonder how many people occupy hospital beds today simply and solely because they don't believe that anyone cares for them. No one cares about them. I wonder how many young people finish up on our streets and members of gangs because they are convinced nobody cares. Nobody cares about them. And we know that there is healing in knowing that someone cares for you, that someone is praying for you, someone is looking in on you, someone is telling others about you. Don't we know here in our church family that when things happen to us and we know our friends, our church family are praying for us, we know that's going on and that in itself lifts us. God works through that power and he lifts us and he brings about healing. Wow! The story is told of the faith of a pastor. When Pastor Smith picked up the phone, Special Agent Jones of the Canadian Revenue Agency, the tax man, was on the line. And he said, "Is this Pastor Smith?" And he replied, "Yes, it is. I'm calling to inquire about a member of your congregation, a Dr. Ship. Do you recognize that name?" The pastor said, "Yes. He is a member of my congregation. How can I be of service?" "Well," the taxman said, "on last year's tax return, the doctor claimed that he made a sizable tax-deductible contribution to your church. Is this true?" "Well," he says, "I'll have to consult the treasurer to verify the information for you. How much did you say that Dr. Ship had contributed?" $25,000, he answered. "Can you tell me if that's true?" There was a long pause, and the pastor replied, "I'll tell you what, call me back tomorrow, and I'm sure that it will be true." Now that's about faith. That's having faith in people and in their future actions. The centurion had faith in Jesus, even though he knew probably very little about Jesus. But what he did know, the little bit that he did know, he believed. He only knew a little bit, but he believed. He believed in Jesus. There was a mother driving with her little boy. This was in Pennsylvania. And they came across a horse and buggy. "Mom," said the little boy, "what's that?" And Mom replied, "They are Amish, son. They don't believe in cars." And the little boy said, "Mom, but can't they see them?" Faith means believing even though you cannot see, even though you haven't seen. And it was probably unlikely that the centurion had ever actually witnessed Jesus in the act of performing miracles. But he believed, he heard about it, and he believed, he had faith. And one of today's great writers, Max Lucado, he writes a little bit about faith, and he says, "For that's what faith is. Faith is trusting what the eye cannot see. Eyes see the prowling lion. Faith sees Daniel's angel. Eyes see storms. Faith sees Noah's rainbow. Your eyes see your faults. Your faith sees your Saviour. Your eyes see your guilt. Your faith sees forgiveness. Your eyes see your grave. Your faith sees a city where the builder and the maker of that city is God. Your eyes look in the mirror and see a sinner, a failure, a promise breaker. But by faith, you can look in that mirror and you can see a child robed, bearing the father's ring, having the kiss on your face and your head, the prodigal returned. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 8 and 9 says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Only twice in the Gospels are there statements made that Jesus was amazed. Here he was amazed about the faith and the humility of this Gentile centurion. In Mark 6:6, Jesus was amazed at the lack of faith of his countrymen. How might Jesus be amazed about you and about me? Is he amazed at our faith? Is he amazed at our lack of faith? Have you given him your life? Have you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ with the sure and firm conviction that doing his will brings a sure path of blessing and grace in your life? If you have become his follower, do you truly walk by faith rather than by sight? Do you look for evidence that God is working before you will believe? Or do you believe and know that God will work? Are you truly confident that Jesus can and will help and bring victory for you over every possible personal weakness or problem that you might have in your life? Or do you still feel that you can handle everything yourself or seek help elsewhere? When you make requests in prayer, do you possess the unwavering personal assurance that he will answer? He will answer. And that story today ends in verse 10. And it says, "And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health." How will your life story end? It depends on your faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. And for our closing hymns, we start by singing hymn 415, "He Giveth More Grace," and we sing it to that beautiful old tune, "The Ash Grove." We stand and sing to God's glory.
Labor. grant this our prayer, to be God's people in this place. Live His goodness, share His grace, proclaim God's mercy through His Son, be His love to everyone. And when we falter, be Thou our comfort, guide us as Your children, that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see. To be God's people,
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore. Amen.